shepherd is the Lord, the living Lord who dies. With all his holiness and accord, we are supplied. He richly feeds our soul.
There's some passages that I had on my heart to read, to make a few comments on, and another brother has an exercise to allow adequate time. One of the final passages I was going to read was in this hymn, so I think I'll read it first. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 4. Nehemiah 4 and 4. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. The beginning of the middle of verse 7, it speaks of the enemies. They heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped. Then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish. There is much rubbish. Just thinking that each one of us, as we depart, whether today or tomorrow morning, Lord willing, I'll be leaving, but as we depart, we have to drive home. And the acronym came to me. In each of our lives, we face dilemmas. Maybe dilemmas in our home, with our employment, in the assembly, in our extended family. In some relationship, we face dilemmas. But God can provide for us in those dilemmas a remedy. D-R, dilemmas, remedy. And we can pray and seek the Lord for insight. We need wisdom, which is from above. We have dilemmas, there are remedies, we need insight. And we have to decide what is valuable. What is valuable? In this modern culture, it's very difficult, but we have God's word to direct us what is valuable. And then we need to embrace what God has given us. 2 Chronicles 29. Some of these passages deserve more study, but I'm taking it up in a somewhat of a thematic way, and there's a tie-in in this passage to what our brother spoke yesterday afternoon to us. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 3. Speaking of Hezekiah. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and have done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God and have forsaken him, have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. I think we heard that again and again yesterday afternoon. Turn their backs. Also, they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore, the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble and to astonishment and to hissing as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord, God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. And then there's a list of 14 names, I believe, in verse 15, and they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. There could be a whole message just on the brook Kidron, and there's many references, but that's where they carried it, to the brook Kidron. And they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify. And then they made an end at the end of the 17th verse. The verse there in verse 5, sanctify yourself, sanctify the house of the Lord God. It's like 175 times in the Old Testament. It runs through 25 books of the Old Testament. to sanctify or to consecrate each one of us. We're children of the Most High God. We are a follower of our Lord Jesus Christ. And each one of us, we face things in this world. They're very real things, and sometimes we're oblivious. I know in my own heart, I'm often oblivious to things. But the Spirit of God can draw our attention to things where we need to be cleansed. I talked to a brother some months ago, and he said that one of his parents is with the Lord, but he said that both of his parents were hoarders, and he says they couldn't get rid of anything. And I guess there's even a program apparently about that subject, but each one of us, there's billions of dollars spent every year on storage facilities. If you drive along the highway, you'll see them all lit up at night, and people fill them with things that maybe they'll never use or they won't use for many years. And so sometimes there needs to be purging of things that are, again, there's that V, that what is valuable to God? What is valuable to the work of God? And so it says in verse 18, then they went into Hezekiah the king and said, we have cleansed all the house of the Lord and the altar of burnt offering with all the vessels thereof and the showbread table with all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression have we prepared and sanctified. And behold, there before the altar of the Lord. The next chapter, which I'm not going to read, the next chapter, there's the preparations for the Passover. There's a revival. There's Hezekiah, other than David, he's one of the only ones that's mentioned that he obeyed and he followed the Lord. He obeyed the Lord. He followed the Lord. And we know that almost every king had some failure at the end of their life, but in so many ways, there was blessing. The last verse of chapter 29, and Hezekiah rejoiced in all the people that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. He had purpose of heart, as Daniel did at the very beginning. For anyone younger, I would just encourage you at the very beginning, have purpose of heart. Hezekiah, on the first day, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and he repaired them. He had energy. He had purpose of heart. D, we have dilemmas. R, there is a remedy. I, there is insight. We need to pray. We need to seek the Lord for that insight. And we need to value things according to what God values them. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Again, because of the content and the topics, I'm going to be selective in the verses that I read, but each one of these passages is worthy of further study. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. That word there, it's translated by refuse and other things in other translations. It's translated dung in the King James. It occurs only one time. One time. There's a point that the Apostle Paul is making here, and he makes it very clearly, that I may win Christ. Christ is everything. We are dead and our life is hid with Christ. Christ is our Savior. He's our God. He's everything. And the sooner that we understand that, the better, I think, our decisions and our life will go. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. We're going to be learning the whole way home to glory. We need to learn new things about God and his word and his teachings. Enjoy them. Apply them. share them, savor them. Success is only one place in the Bible, Joshua 1 verse 8, to meditate God's word day and night. It's the only place where success is mentioned, Joshua 1 verse 8. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What other prize is really worth it? How many children have trophies? Now they give out participation trophies. How many people have trophies and ribbons? At the time, they seem exciting, whatever color, whether they're blue or red or green, you still want a ribbon or a trophy or something. But this is the prize. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is the practical way? How can we do this? Colossians 3, just a few verses. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. We become what we set our affections on. This is an area that affects young and old and middle age and all of us. Where are our affections? I think of all the things I've set my affections on over the years, and some of them are very humbling to contemplate. We need to be very, very careful where we set our affections. Set your affection on things above. Then more remedies, just a few phrases. Like to read verse 8, there's an expression, put off all these. Put off all these. Verse 9, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. What are we hoarding? What are we hoarding? What are we clinging to? Sometimes our fists, our fingers need to be open. Our fists need to be unclenched. We need to let go of something that's not in God's thoughts and God's purposes and God's ways. There are things we have to let go of, put off. Well, there needs to be a replacement. Verse 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, is there someone we have been feuding with? I had a loved one for years. I didn't speak to them, and there was like a quiet little feud. I don't even know if he knew about it. But we have these things. We don't let go of things. We don't forgive things. We harbor little resentments, little grudges, little things. We need to be forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule. I think that word really means play umpire. You know, sometimes the umpire will call a ball or a strike and people will think, oh, that wasn't right. It says, let the peace of God rule. We need Christ is our peace. He is our peace. We need him. Let him rule in our hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. When I meet a new Christian, that's one of the first things I notice is, do they have a spirit of gratitude and of thankfulness? That's one of the most distinctive marks of any Christian, if you meet them, is a spirit of gratitude, thankfulness, and humility. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Do you know God wants us to be rich? But he wants us to be rich in all wisdom. We have the riches and we have the treasures in heaven that cannot be touched. No market crash can take them away from us. No matter what happens economically, when we have Christ, we have everything. Everything, it's in him. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I don't even know if I would be coming to the meetings or to the assembly if it wasn't for this hymn book. The hymns in this are so rich with truth, with treasures, with teaching, with wisdom. We need to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I had a mother and several of her sisters who would often sing around the house when they were working. They would sing. It's stuck in my mind. It's stuck in my heart. We need to sing to the Lord, for He is worthy. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's a measuring standard for everything. Here we have the remedy. We have a dilemma. We have a remedy. We have insight that we need to pray for. We need to value things. We need to embrace them. I'm going to read a passage that I said to a brother one time. I don't know that I've ever heard this particular book of the Bible ever spoken on. Maybe it has been, and I just don't remember it. But I'm going to read a few verses from this book of the Bible, and it gives us a perspective. And sometimes we need to lift up our eyes. There's like 10 times in the Bible. We need to lift up our eyes. Abraham lifted up his eyes. The disciples, they lifted up their eyes and they saw no man save Jesus only. We need to lift up our eyes and allow the wisdom of the unchanging Word of God to transform our perspective. Let our perspective not be defined by the news, by social media, by culture, by politics. Let it be defined by this book. Zechariah chapter 8, just 8 verses. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus says the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth, in righteousness. Let us lay our hearts on things which are precious to the heart of God, to the person of Christ, to the glory that awaits us. What we have is real and true. What we may hear on the radio or some other form of medium, a phone or something, it might not be true. It might not come to pass. It may not be the whole story. We need to sink our foundations on that which is really life. We know that God's word will be completed, not a jot or a tittle. Nothing will fall to the ground. It is true. It is righteous. And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. I'd like to close where we started in Nehemiah 4. Nehemiah 4, there was a remedy. Don't give up. Don't just say, because it's dark, it's just going to get worse. Don't give up. Don't stop laboring. Let me just read to you. In Nehemiah chapter 4, in the middle of verse 14, this is repeated at least 100 times in the Word of God. Be not ye afraid. In some other words, fear not. Be not ye afraid. Don't be afraid. It's repeated at least 100 times. Nehemiah 4:14, be not ye afraid of them. Remember. Remember. That's what we've done this morning. We need to think on Him. It's well with us. We are children of the Most High God. We are loved by Him. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to think on Him. It says, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and that God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one to his work. And it came to pass that from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spear and the shields and the bows and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they which bear burdens, with those that laded, every one with every one of his hands wrought in the work, and every other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had a sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me, and I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place therefore ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears in the rising in the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may guard to us and labor on the day. God had given them something to do. And God has given each one of us something to do. It may be small, it may be a little larger, it may require a little unexpected effort. It may be very unpleasant at times. It may be something that we struggle to do. It may not be the choice we would have normally made. But God desires that we obey Him, honor Him, walk with Him. And how can we do it? How can we do it? Well, I'm going to read a prayer of the Apostle Paul. And very few of our prayers will ever reach this level, but this is a prayer of the Apostle Paul, and it's recorded for us, and I'll just read it. And I'd love to hear what others have to share from us, because this is God's Word, and we are God's people, and He has a portion, He has a purpose for each one of us. In Ephesians 3, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. May the Lord help us to do whatever He's called us to do until He comes and calls us home to be with Himself forever.